There are some things we remember as a child, and there are some things we forget. One of the things I remember distinctly about me was that I believed in something I'd never been told. It wasn't something I'd had read to me, nor something I'd picked up in any books I was given as a child. It was certainly never something drummed into me by either of my divorced parents, who were about as religious as McDonald's and about as likely to go to church as they were to attend a line dancing festival. But this strange little something that I still recall knowing was true, but never quite understanding why I believed it to be so, was one of the first things I've ever decided in my life was just simply a fact of life. And that was, we've all been here before. We've all been here before, lived other lives, and like it or not, we're all going to be back. You see, reincarnation and the concept of past lives, I believe now, was something I hadn't quite forgotten as I re-entered my new life as a young girl called Amber, born in Melbourne, daughter of Beverly and Ian, granddaughter of Harriet Harper, and whose bedroom had lions and tigers, elephants and giraffes staring at her each night from the wallpaper on her walls. As the years went by in my childhood, with life starting to muffle out my memories, my slow incline and decline into a slightly pissed off teenager, this concept of what is began to get shoved back into my mental catalogue of stuff, until one day a friend handed me a book when I was 30 that reawakened this knowing, and it came at just the right time. It came in the months leading up to my beautiful grandmother Harriet departing this life.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Santonidis and I'm a clinical hypnotherapist.
So what I'm really interested in, and I've always been interested in the subject of past lives and reincarnation, and we were just talking before, just as I arrived, about memories that children have of things, not memories, knowing, or an attraction to things when they're young that they just don't question. And we were talking about how a lot of little kids have a real gravitation towards crystals. Mm. And I remember when I was very young, and I don't know how old I'm very bad with ages. I just know that I was very young because I believe it was when I had my little blonde witch mobile that used to hang above my bed, which now I kind of think, given all of my interests, seems quite symbolic, really. As I'm, isn't it? Like three blonde witches dangling above my head. Really? Yeah. Anyway, one of the things I remember lying in bed, thrashing around, thinking about, overthinking even back then, was I believed in reincarnation. And I remember almost saying to myself, so I understood that was the concept that we've all lived, you know, we've all had past lives, we've been here before and we come back. But I even remember thinking in my little head, why do I know about that? Nobody's ever told me about reincarnation. I don't understand why I know that. So from a starting point, because it's part of your business, of what you do, how do you describe reincarnation?
Reincarnation, basically we're souls having a human experience.
Yeah.
And we keep reincarnating or re-emerging in a physical body in different lifetimes in order to gain... learn life lessons, basically, on a karmic level. And as we grow and expand our consciousness, as we go through various past lives and various future lives, of course, we grow and evolve spiritually. Yeah. And our soul has certain intentions, certain lessons that it would like us to learn when we do incarnate in a physical form. So, of course, often the case is that we have these lessons that we need to learn, but we don't actually often get to learn those lessons 100%. So therefore...
So these are lessons that have potentially started. I mean, it depends how long, I guess, a big particular lesson may have been with our soul in regards to, I guess, how many incarnations we've had and how long we've been, you know, up in the universe or whatever it is? How do you sort of, how does that work?
Yeah, so people can get stuck with a certain lesson.
Yeah.
Perhaps a certain karmic lesson.
And you see that happening, you know.
We see that happening lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. You may find that you attract a certain type of person into your life.
Mm.
And you keep attracting that kind of person. And often is the case that there's a lesson around that. There's something that we need to learn.
Yeah.
So, and until we learn those lessons, we'll keep repeating those patterns. And I guess this is where past life regression comes into its own, because sometimes we can't understand what lessons there are that we do need to learn.
Mm. Well, most people are really clueless to it.
Yeah, they are. They can be.
So let's just talk firstly about, because we'll obviously talk again more about lessons, because that's really largely what obviously reincarnating is all about.
Mm.
But so you do past life regressions with clients.
Yes.
What's the process of that?
The past life regression, it's through the pathway of hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
It's tapping into the subconscious part of the mind. Now, the subconscious part of the mind is where all of our memories are stored, whether it be in this lifetime or whether it's in past lifetimes. And we have access to those memories.
So they're stored somewhere in our subconscious, which is in our brain?
Well, our subconscious, it's a big part of us, but it's our spiritual connection. It's our spiritual side as well, the subconscious. So it's our spiritual side. It's that almighty knowing of all things, everything.
Mm.
So,
just to interrupt again, because you spoke before about soul and obviously having those lessons, and your soul is who you are without the body?
Yes.
Okay, so then what is your spirit?
It's one and the same thing,
okay.
Really. Your soul and your spirit is one and the same thing. People use those words differently, I guess. Some people relate more to their spiritual side rather than their soul side, but ultimately they are one in the same thing.
Mm. But you're saying that the subconscious and I guess the memories of these past lives are stored somewhere, and that is potentially when you are connected to your spirit in whatever way, and that could be hypnotherapy. Could be maybe even meditation.
Meditation,
I guess you'd probably you'd probably be doing meditation for a while, or certainly have a moment where you've got that kind of very clear connection, which is very hard for a lot of people like me. And that is that is almost like a channel to information that's stored somewhere up there in
our
the
higher
universe.
Self.
Basically
there's a small part of us that incarnates into the physical body, and as we are in this form now, but we have our higher self, which is still up in the realms, the divine realms, and this is the large part. This is our all-knowing side of us, and this is a part that knows all the lessons that we need to learn, the lessons that we intend to learn in this lifetime, and it holds, of course, all the memories of everything that's happened leading up to this lifetime here. So this is basically what we're accessing as far as the past life regression is concerned.
Mm.
We're accessing those memories and finding out what our soul's intention was for this lifetime, finding out what we have been in past lifetimes, the talents that we've had, the gifts that we've had, the opportunities we've had, geographically where we've been in past lifetimes. There's some people that may feel drawn to everything Italian or everything.
No, it's funny you said that, because I just thought, just as you were saying that, oh, yes, I know she's going to say, like, you know, country, and like me with Italy.
Mm. Yes. Mm. You just have this love for this place, and sometimes you can't understand why, but you might love the people, the food. You just feel like on some level it's home.
Also like for me, I mean, I knew before I even went to Italy, I always used to say, oh, it's my favourite country. And then when I got there, I went, yeah, it is. I was right. I knew it was going to be my favourite country. But the other weird thing is, because I'm just absolutely useless, I mean, I could get lost. I mean, you know, I need a permanent compass attached to my head. I've got no clues whatsoever. Like, I'm literally same. A full universal spiritual drifter, like absolutely hopeless. But a couple of years ago, I've been to Italy loads and loads of times and had many kind of like wonderful moments there. But Mum pointed out, I probably wouldn't have even thought about it, but we were staying near the Vatican. And so we were, you know, wanting to do a whole lot of things and in and around there. And Mum said to me, and I was sort of charging around because I do walk very fast. Usually whoever I'm walking with says, can you slow down? We're supposed to be walking together. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, you're about 6 kilometres behind. And anyway, she said to me, I don't understand how you know your way around. Like, I was literally going, oh, I think we go left here. I think we go, no map, no nothing. That's not me. And I suddenly went, you're right. That's so not me. Mm. That's really super weird.
Mm. Yeah, so it's like that light bulb moment, isn't it? Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people may have heard of past life therapy or might kind of be, you know, one of those people that think, oh, what on earth would that be? That must be weird, people going to that. Like, what was... Yeah, of course. Which I know because, I mean, you know, I did in my last series, I had a fabulous episode with a dream analyzer or whatever she calls herself, but she also does kinesiology. But she's, like, located in, like, Armidale. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not exactly, you know, it's pretty basic sort of, you know, middle class kind of environment. You wouldn't have thought that there was people going there saying, I've come to have some dream therapy with you, but they do. So what are the people, what are some of the kind of like common themes that people are coming to you for that?
It's interesting that you say that because my husband doesn't really, he's not a believer, he's not a disbeliever.
Is he not?
But in the first year of doing past life regressions.
I mean, not that surprises me, but it's such a weird thing to have a wife go off to work. And I know that's not the only thing that you do with, you know, hypnotherapy and you work with crystals and everything. But for him to kind of go, oh, there she goes off to work to do what, that weird...
that thing that she does.
That thing that I don't really believe, but she keeps going off to work and she keeps getting paid.
To do what?
That's right.
Yes, and it was hilarious to me because one of my good friends is a biochemist, very, very intelligent lady.
Yeah.
And when I told my husband that she wanted to do a past life regression, he said, seriously? He said, but she's intelligent.
I don't
know. He had this disbelief because she's intelligent, so obviously intelligent people don't.
Do you know, I've heard that kind of response said to once there was a girl in the paper and she had been attacked by a footballer boyfriend and she was taking him to court. She'd taken him to court, so she'd obviously got out of it. Mm-hmm. But people around me kept saying, I don't understand, she's so attractive. Why would she be in that? Why would she allow that to happen to herself?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember someone close to me, older generation, I won't name and shame, but I introduced him to this gorgeous gay guy, and when he left, I said, isn't he a lovely guy? And I said, there's more to the story. But anyway, this person said, he's a lovely guy. You should go out with him. And I said, Dad, I've just outed him. Okay, fine. I knew I was going to be able to pull that. Yeah, I go, he's gay. And he said, what? He was such a nice bloke. I said, oh, Dad, please, like, really? Yeah. Like, anyway, so that funny reaction, like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah, and also on another level, I guess, people that are born and raised in religious families, particularly Catholic, because it's not in their
religion.
They don't
like it, do they?
But funnily enough, there's a connection with Constantine back in, I think it's the 1600 AD.
Yeah.
Before that, reincarnation was in the scriptures.
Really?
Yes, and Constantine changed all that up. It's worth looking into. That's another story.
But, there's been a lot of the tweaking of the Catholic story, hasn't there, for convenient control? Yes.
Yeah. So, people that are Catholic, they don't tend to believe so much in reincarnation and therefore past life regressions. But if you have a look at all these other religions, so many of them where past life experiences and that the soul does live on and go on and reincarnate. And yeah, that's very much part of other religions.
Can you tell, are you able to share, I don't know whether it's, you know, without using names, you know, client confidentiality, but of because I know that obviously some of what comes through, I mean, I had a big revelation after reading the book Many Lives, Many Masters with Dr. Brian Weiss, and so I got a better understanding of what can come from the information that you can obtain through hypnotherapy, if your past life information comes through. And there's things like experiences, you know, and bad experiences that have happened to you in past lives that can come through, which gives you an insight into what might be perceived as a pretty, you know, clueless paranoia about something, like whether it's, whether it is living, you know, being too close to the water or something and having a paranoia about a tidal wave or, you know, what have you got any examples of some of the kind of like repeated paranoias or difficult stumbling blocks that people have had that didn't relate at all to this life but have been sort of identified as something that perhaps that fear has been carried over?
Yes. Many times people would come in with a fear or a phobia and not having an understanding of where that's come from. And most often it is rooted in a past life experience. And once again, it's there for a reason. It's there for us to learn a lesson from.
Okay.
And often we haven't learned that particular lesson back in that past lifetime, so it keeps reoccurring. And the residual, I guess, from that carries through into this lifetime.
The residual energy of the fear or what it may be has carried through?
Yes, it's carried through. So, and by going back to that past life experience and gaining that understanding of what it is, why we are fearful of this particular thing, how that event played out in our life in that time, they're able to gain the learnings from that past life experience. And they're able then to heal from that and to move on, which is a process that they go through. I had a lady last week or the week before. She came to see me. She had a terrible relationship with her mother. She always had a terrible relationship. She couldn't understand why, but a dreadful relationship. And in her past life experience, when we went back, she was actually, the first scene that opened up in front of her was her sitting down milking a cow. I think it was the 1600s. And the cow kicked her and kicked her in the face. And through that, she lost all of her teeth. Her face was badly damaged and she was deformed because of that.
Oh, God, which back then would have had all sorts of social stigmas attached to it.
Yes. Oh. So through that, because of that experience, or because of that happening, her mother hid her away.
Oh, there you go.
Her mother was ashamed of her, the way she looked, and she hid her away. She told everyone that her daughter had died.
Oh, wow.
And basically this girl was a prisoner in her mother's house. And she died a few years after that in that past life experience. And when she came out of it, of course she had tears going on and she was experiencing that. And, of course, if there's anything in a past life experience where you feel fearful or something is traumatic, I always get you to detach from the emotions of the event so that you're not actually reliving it.
Okay.
You can detach from it and just watching it as if it's a movie.
How do you do that? Because that's, I mean, almost a trick that would be wonderful to use in this life with things that are currently going on, where you can try and, you know, not obviously become a full blown narcissist, completely detached of all emotion. Going, oh yes, no, I have a brilliant life because Yeah, Jennifer told me how to detach from emotions, and I haven't had any ever since. But there are some where I know that I get over attached, you know, with things, you know, with my family and stuff like that, and I just wish that I could compartmentalize and detach a little bit. But anyway, but just describe how you get people to do that when they're going, yeah, where they're really reliving it.
Experiencing it, yes. Basically, I ask them to listen to the sound of my voice and to just detach from the emotions of the event, just rise above it, detach from the emotions of the event. Just watch it as if you're watching it on a TV screen or a movie. It's not actually
you're
happening
just viewing
now.
It.
This is just a memory.
Yeah.
And I go through that process, and they do. They instantly detach from that. From the emotions and the feelings of that event and rise above it, and then they're able to watch it without, I guess, being fully associated in the experience. And it was interesting with that lady as well when she woke up and she had all tears flowing, and she was very emotional but very happy. And she said, you know, she said something I didn't mention before we started. She said, last Friday I had to have my two front teeth taken out and I've got a plate. She said, these are not real teeth, this is a plate. Until the implant is strong enough so I can get new teeth put in.
Yeah.
And she was overwhelmed by this image of her, of course, being kicked by the cow.
Wow.
And how that, it related.
In a way, that's repeating itself.
And how it related. And it was interesting, too.
To the area of damage.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was interesting, too, that she had to reschedule 3-4 times. Over the period of about 2 months.
To get the teeth done?
No, to actually come in for a past life experience. So to me...
Something had to match that experience with the dentist, didn't
it? She had to wait until after the dentist before she had this past life experience.
And how bizarre, because potentially that, the whatever issue it is with the teeth, you know, of course, no doubt is aligned to a weakness and even just some sort of part of the lesson, or... The weakness is there because at some point the destiny is that you're going to have a hard time because you're going to be struggling with, you know, memories and lessons from a past life, and you're going to end up going and seeing a past life regression person, and you're going to actually be connected back to that because you need another little sneak preview of what that is to then calculate how to make a bit of a booster of the experience in this life.
And it was on so many levels for her. She had always felt ugly. She had no self-confidence at all. She was always independent, but there was something holding her back, and she never knew what that was.
And it was just it was just this feeling of her face being horrible.
Yes, and how it played out with her mother after that as well. And the connection with her mother, the way her mother thought she was so deformed that she couldn't put her out in public, and she would rather say that her daughter died than
Gosh. And so was her mother her mother in this
it
life
was the
again? Because they've had, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be.
There's karmic stuff, there's karmic patterns that are repeating there. And we spoke at length about them afterwards. And we always do. After a past life regression, we do a review.
Yeah.
And we take out the positive learnings of those lessons. But it's really interesting, and also getting back to the point about having past life experiences and traumatic past lives as well. And
'cause everyone's had traumatic ones.
Yes, they have. Yes, we've had a whole range of past
different
lives,
types.
Really good,
good
past
ones.
Lives.
Shitty
health,
ones.
Wealth, vitality, and we've had the really good
power,
ones
no
as well.
Power.
Yep, so we've all experienced those. Interestingly, when I was doing my past life regression training the first time, we were paired up with three people. There was one lady that had done past life regressions before, and two of us, we hadn't had any experience. We'd only gone through 3 days of training at this point. And the lady that was taking me through, practicing with me with the past life regression, she didn't know how to move me forward from a traumatic thing that I was experiencing at the time. She got me into the past life experience, And basically, I saw something very traumatic, an event, and she didn't know how to move me forward from that. I was kind of...
What do you do with that?
Yeah, this is where it's really,
that's a big
really
learned
important.
Thing for you. For you.
It was basically, it was back in the Georgian days in America, and I was watching, when the scene unfolded, I was watching this couple that were done up beautifully. The lady had the long dress on, the parasol, the hat.
Yeah.
The gentleman beside her had the hat and the suit on, and they were going to a garden party. And then I had this overwhelming fear that, oh my gosh, if somebody sees me here, I'm in trouble. So I ran back to what I knew was my house at the time, and I realized I was the daughter of a slave. My mother was a slave. I didn't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
And our house was just this little shack that was basically falling down. It was four walls and a roof, and that was it. I got back there, and I was looking for my brother. I couldn't find my brother. And I thought to myself, I bet he's in the stable. And if he's in the stable and he gets caught, we're in big trouble. So I ran to the stable. Sure enough, I saw my brother, my 12-year-old brother, up on the rafters. And actually, my brother then is my son now. And I saw him up on these rafters, and he says, hey, watch this. He said, I'm going to jump. And there was a big haystack, a hay pile just below him. He jumped off that, but he landed on a pitchfork.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
And it was quite confronting.
Oh, my God.
There were various lessons that I could take from that past life experience. It was so profound, the relationship that I have with my son
now.
And...
Are you over paranoid with him, or have you been in the past?
Overprotective? I am overprotective. My son has a disability as well. So,
what sort of disability, if you don't mind me asking?
He has Asperger's.
Okay, right, yep. I was asking that more because I was thinking, is it something almost weirdly physical related? Yep.
Yes, but because of that, I am overprotective of him.
Yes.
And our relationship is just extraordinary. And looking back at that time where I couldn't help my brother, and this scene that I was watching, I couldn't move from that scene. And the lady that was taking me through this process, she said, is there anyone else there that can help you? And I said, no, there's nobody else here. She didn't know how to move me forward or detach from the emotion.
Yeah.
So this is where it's really important that you find somebody that is fully qualified, they know what they're doing.
They've got to step you through it.
Goes.
Otherwise, you could just stay in that and then come out with no knowledge and just actually... a bit of a painful memory.
Yes.
That you're not sure whether you should really take on board, but it's there.
Yes, and with no resolution. So the other lady that had done some past life regression work, she moved me forward from that scene. And then I saw two workers come and wrap my brother up at the time, up in Hessian cloth, take him away. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm never going to see him again because they didn't have graves for... slaves, of course, back then. So I knew I'd never see him again. But it ended up being a good lifetime after all of that, because I went to work for a lovely couple. I was a servant for them, and interestingly enough, they treated me really, really well. And the male of the house was actually my father in this lifetime. And there are all these other lessons that came in and these other understandings that I gained from that session.
Oh, gosh.
So it was incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, what I really do want to stress is that it does need to be done by somebody that is well-trained and that they know what they're doing.
Yes. So on that, in terms of, and I really believe this too, you know, obviously, I don't need to be convinced about past lives. So I also believe that, you know, we are reincarnated or incarnated with the same group of people.
Yes.
And as you said, you know, your brother, it was your brother that was in that last lifetime who is now your son.
Mm.
And I definitely... believe that, but what is your explanation of why we're why we all end up here together again. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Be careful how much someone gets on your nerves, because if you don't work it out, that bastard will be back with your next one.
He will.
Oh, God.
Yes, interestingly, we have what's called, or what I like to call, our soul group.
Mm.
And these are other souls that we're very close with, that we tend to reincarnate with.
Yeah.
Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Now, your mother in this lifetime could have been your son in a past lifetime.
I think she was my sister and daughter. One that was we had a very trying relationship with.
That can often be the case.
Yes. Well, yeah, maybe it's not, but yes, there's definitely a past life thing there, and I think there's some difficultness there sometimes with that.
And before we incarnate into this physical form as we are now, we make agreements or contracts with these other souls. So perhaps I might agree that on the 3rd of this month in this particular year, I'm going to meet with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and help you to learn a particular lesson or to realize something or to...
So even you and I might have had a past life together, even small moments. It's not just necessarily the ones that end up as your mum, your dad, your son, your best friend.
That's correct. Mm. That's correct. Mm. And it's interesting.
And that's really lovely too, because usually I think those people, it's often quite a lovely experience. They're kind of, you know, they're there to kind of keep cheerleading you along with whatever little part they play.
Absolutely.
It's the ones that stick around are the more difficult ones.
Yeah. They're the big lessons.
That's right.
The big contracts the big agreements that we make. But people talk about, a soul partner as well, or, twin flames, things like that. Your soulmate. Now, soulmate doesn't have to be your absolute love of your life forever. We have a lot of...
Or even, you could look back soulmates. And say, oh, he was a soulmate and I had his guts.
Yeah. Yes, but he...
Most people would not say, oh, you know, he's my soulmate. Yeah, no, he was an absolute bastard. Anyway, we only go soulmates are the ones that, you know, did everything right by us.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And this is part of our soul group.
Yeah.
So he may have been your soulmate on some level, lovingly at a certain point in time, and then things fall apart and move on. But quite potentially that was somebody in your soul group that you did have a contract or an agreement with, somebody perhaps that you have reincarnated with many times and that you have this strong bond, this strong connection with. Yeah.
And it actually throws a really interesting different layer onto how you perceive difficult relationships. Mm. Because if you... For instance, I had a very close friend. It's actually probably, how old am I? 47. So it's probably about 6 years ago that we stopped being friends, and it doesn't even matter why. But I was particularly hurt by some things. Her version of what's appropriate to say and what's positive about someone else is very different to mine.
Mm.
And so I really, it had been building and I kind of decided to kind of cut the friendship.
Mm.
And I did it probably pretty brutal. Maybe I could have done it better, but I just knew that it would have just dragged on. She wouldn't have got it. So I potentially left a bit of a scar there for her and a bit of kind of like, oh wow, I've been cut pretty hard. But it is also interesting because I think I remember thinking about her and a few, a couple of these sort of bad relationships and thinking, so actually, if you believe that, that she wasn't just random in your life, that if she was there for so long, then she's definitely, you probably had a past life with her. You know, so she's in your life for a reason.
Mm.
And if that is the case, then actually, potentially, the two of us have made an agreement to come to blows or friendship or to try and work something out between us, and it either hasn't or one of us has played our part and the other one is supposed to then sort of work it out and heal and learn their lesson or something like that. You know, it could be one or both. But it does sort of make you think that it also takes the victim out of how you feel about some people treating you badly when you feel that actually maybe up there in this angelic universe where there is a proper plan and everyone actually, most people come from a good place before they're incarnated into what is a very quite a difficult planet, that we all had intentions to help each other before we, you know, incarnated. So is anyone really an enemy? You know,
that's exactly true. That's exactly right, because those hardest lessons and the most,
which is very hard to swallow, of course, and there'd be a million people going, are you serious? This person did this, or this person did this, or this person molested my son, or something. Like, it's a very hard pill to swallow in all aspects, for sure.
Yeah, to actually even entertain the idea that this person that did this horrible thing to me actually did it for my own good and had my best intentions at heart.
Yeah.
On a soul.
They don't. Yeah. That. Yeah. And they don't remember. They're just playing out what they just think is life and their part in it.
Yes. 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 Exactly right. Exactly right. They're often the ones that give us the hardest, most painful lessons are the ones that we're closest to. And this is hard to get our head around because we think, oh my God, how is that possible?
Yeah.
But it's only the really loving souls, the ones that are most connected to you, that will help you to learn the hardest lessons of all.
And that potentially will be the ones to do the really shitty things by you.
The really shitty things, absolutely.
Isn't that just, God. And also, like, I had two really, really, really bad, vicious relationships. And I look back now, and I actually had a very interesting, I actually had an interesting energetic sort of channeled sort of healing on both of them. And what came through with one of them was that there'd been this past life, and he was quite a sort of a, what is it, gladiator, not gladiator, no, the opposite, the Roman times, Roman military.
No.
What are they? What were
like
they
an
called?
An emperor.
Not so much an emperor, like more maybe sort of senior in the army, but of that time, like a Roman time, you know, where the leather and the but sort of gladiator time. I can't. It's not even coming to me. But anyway, and she said that I hadn't told her everything about him. But she said that she saw him, that we had a relationship, and that he'd always felt that he owned me, and he was very in love with me and really felt that he owned me for a long time and then got bored of me. And the way he approached me when we first met in this life, I mean, the recognition and the ownership, he clocked me from across the room. He came straight over, and the cheeky bastard even had his jacket and he threw it down on my leg. No. And introduced himself. I mean, which sounds totally vile. Vile. And it is vile, and he was vile. But he was also fascinating at the time. And I thought, who does this guy think he is? And I wasn't stupid enough to go, oh, God, you know, like, you know. I was more drawn into this bizarre feeling of this huge connection. And what I realise now is, the dude immediately thought he owned me from that second. Because he would have felt that. And I honestly do believe that there was a past, I think, because that was so horrific, that relationship for me in this life. And it goes down again to someone trying to control me. And also what was huge in terms of my lessons and what I can always thank him for is what he did was he awakened my intuition. Because things were so bizarre that would happen to me around him, that once I got out, and it was 6 months, so it was short, sweet, not sweet, short, diabolical, and then we were both out. Yeah. Mm. But the damage that was to my reputation and to, I nearly had a nervous breakdown. It was horrific. And I should never have just kept going and going and going. But I look back on that period of time and I knew everything. That my knowing was just next level. I knew everything. There was not one, moment that I was completely confused about. I look back now and go, wow, okay, I will never in this lifetime question my intuition. No one's ever going to try and tell me that I'm crazy or that I'm paranoid and whatever, because I know shit and no one's going to tell me any... No one gets to play that game with me anymore. Mm. I know that I have a really clear knowing and intuition.
Mm.
So he gave me that.
Mm. Yes.
I still find it very hard in my head to try and forgive him. There's still a part of me that really hates him.
Yeah.
And I know that means that I'm, I need to get over that.
Yeah, that's something else to work on, I guess. Yeah.
I definitely know, though, the lesson was there. And I also see the mirror of what we were in many ways, which was some really ugly stuff.
Yeah, but to gain that understanding and, as you said, it unlocked your intuition.
Mm, so it did. And that's actually my greatest gift, to be quite honest.
Yes.
It's why it's what I use in interviews. It's what I use in family. It's what I use in everything. Like, it's literally my, probably, if someone said, what is your greatest gift? I would say my intuition, my psychic and my intuition.
Mm.
So he actually, that was all shut off. I didn't believe in myself at that point when I met him. And even though I ended up getting the shit kicked out of me spiritually, I ended up coming away with that gift of that.
Isn't it interesting how we sometimes have to reach that crisis point?
At that very moment
to learn those big lessons, to have those big shifts and awakenings, and the benefits that flow from that, even though, yes, you are bruised and scarred from afterwards as well. It's the gifts, it's the gems that are within that too. And this would have been one of your soul's intentions, your lessons.
It was
one
good.
Of the coming together of the...
I feel like they should put a little warning in your pocket just going, look, you've signed up to this, brace yourself, because this is going to be a shit fight. But don't worry, it'll be over in X amount, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want a tiny little note that the little angel put in my little nappy or something just to say, be careful, it's... Well, not be careful, but it's going to come, but it's going to be okay in the end.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where past
it's terrifying to think the things that you sign up to.
It is, and it's lucky that we don't know sometimes what it is that we have in store.
No, that's right.
But through the process of past life regression, we can gain such a lot of understanding about ourselves on a soul level.
Yeah.
And some of the lessons that we are here to learn so that we can learn those lessons and we can avoid the big... catastrophes and the hardest lessons of all, which is something that you just described that you had to go through.
One quick two quick things, because I know that you've got clients coming. This is quite a heavy one, but if you've got a shortish answer, babies and toddlers and people that leave life early, and that seems like just robbed and snatched and taken away and so horrific. Mm. You believe that they've also, there's a reason that there's been a contract of some sort that has been part of that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Actually, it's giving me chills as you say that.
It's a hard one to cop, but I kind of see.
It is, but it's a very relevant one.
Yeah.
And we have to understand, yes, it is a lesson for us, ourselves, having lost people in our lives, particularly little ones, young ones.
Yeah, very, very, very hard.
One of the hardest things of all to cope with. But it is a lesson for us on so many levels, but also the little soul that came into being as well.
Yeah.
It's not just a lesson for us, but that's their soul journey also.
Right.
They incarnated for a reason. And
to have a quick experience and a quick lesson.
We can't understand it. Sometimes we can't understand why this has happened. We can't make sense of it. Not in our physical form. We can't make sense of it. On a spiritual level, a soul level.
It makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
They can be some of the hardest things.
Absolutely.
To deal with.
Definitely.
But, the little souls that do come here only for a short amount of time, it's part of their lesson as well.
Yeah, okay.
And they incarnated with the intention of doing that,
I'm only going to be here briefly. Yeah.
Another interesting thing was when I had a past life regression before I started, before I became a practitioner, I was told my son has failed to thrive right through his life. He's 13 years old now. He's got he's growth restricted as well. He's about the size of perhaps a 9-year-old.
Yeah. And how 13. Old is he? 13, right, yeah.
13 now. And what came out of a past life experience for me was that when he incarnated into this life, and this gentleman that was doing the past life experience for me, very connected. He was on so many levels.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a past life. And he said, your son never expected to be on this earth for very long. And I said, why is that? He said, what happened when you were pregnant? He said, can I ask that question? And I said, well, I had placenta previa, so I couldn't give birth naturally. The placenta was too low. It had to be a cesarean. He said, well, your son never expected to be on this earth for very long. So, and this is why his growth is restricted. And then he went on to say that what happened at this time in his life and what happened at that time in his life. And that kind of, it was such an amazing, lesson for me. And once again, my connection to my son as well.
Reframing the way you look at his what seems like, you know, he hasn't thrived, or, you know, just the way you look at.
Yes. And when he was born, he didn't expect to be on this lifetime or in this life for very long, but obviously his sole intention is to go through these difficulties, but to be here and to be here for himself as well as everyone else.
So that you can actually have your soul can change that, change direction while you've come down here and said, right, it's time for you to you should stay longer.
I don't believe that. I believe that the contracts that are made and the lessons that we're here to learn, all of that, I think, is predetermined before we do incarnate.
Mm.
And that's why we have agreements with all our other soul mates and our.
But if he didn't expect to be here for so long, why is he still here?
When he was first born. So he was talking about after the birth, after he was, when he was in physical form, he didn't expect to be here very long. But on a soul level, he was going to be here for longer. He was certainly going to be here for longer.
God, that's fascinating, isn't it?
It was really interesting. And he's, yeah, so we, all of our soul contracts are made before we incarnate, and we have these agreements set up. So obviously my son had an agreement to meet certain people and do certain things, at least up until the age of 13, as he is now.
Mm.
And what goes beyond that, of course, is anyone's guess.
Mm.
But, yes, we certainly do make soul contracts.
Mm.
And we have to, as I said, we have to remember that it's not just the lessons that we're here to learn. If a mother loses a child very young, it's also the lessons that little soul came here to learn
and
as
that,
well.
That, that they wanted to, that
and
they signed up
they
to.
Did.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going because that's, that takes a sad reflection, but, you know, more thought-provoking than just simply a helpless, you know, reflection of those kind of situations. So I'll finish on to something potentially ludicrous. Because, I mean, it seems to be that most people that go to a psychic that say, oh, look, you know, past life stuff or you know, that, a lot of them seem to come away thinking that they were Cleopatra or William the Conqueror.
Yes.
Have you had a lot of people saying, look, I've had a heads up, I'm Cleopatra or William the Conqueror? Are they the big two that seem to be...
Actually,
or am I making that up? I just feel like a lot of people say, oh, yes, I had a reading once and that Cleopatra and William the Conqueror.
Mm. Well, in my experience, I haven't had anyone that's been Cleopatra or the Madonna or...
No, because I was both of them, that's why.
Really?
Yes, and both of them.
Was that your experience? That was your...
Yes. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, you know, I've had bigger lives than that. So,
I've never had a famous,
soul
that I've seen. And, it's interesting that
it gives you a lot of credibility already.
Well, I'm the therapist. I'm the person that helps you with your journey, with your past life journey. Mm. So it's you that's having the experience. It's you that's having the memory. It's you that's experiencing these past life journeys.
Mm.
I basically just hold the space and I help you to go through it. I guide you through the process. And, perhaps I haven't been lucky enough to have anyone famous from past lives come to see me yet. Yeah, people have done amazing things, of course, but I've never actually had a famous one in the chair, not yet. So perhaps you'll be the first.
You might be, but I really do. I do want to, I definitely want to come and book in to see you, but we need to wind this up. So just tell me, there'll probably be lots of people listening going, I'm fascinated about that. I've always felt like this, or I've got this problem, or anyway, where can people contact you?
They can find me on pastliferegression.com.au.
That's easy, yes.
Otherwise, I have a phone number that they can contact me on.
Yeah, give that.
My number is 0448-801-273. And, they can just contact me there. I'm usually booked out 2 or 3 weeks in advance, just letting people know. But
beautiful,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I love that I found you. It's been an absolute. It's been exactly what I wanted it to be. So thank you, Jennifer. Next week on The Wise Guides, I'll be catching up with the witch from Down Under, Stacey DeMarco, about my recent freak out after watching The Handmaiden's Tale and an historical story that Stacey said should be a warning to us all that what happened in The Handmaiden's Tale might not be entirely fictional. If you enjoyed this episode of The Wise Guides and want to hear more, you can subscribe to the show, and if you're feeling generous, we'd love you to give us a little rating and a review.